series. So this should be a refresher for most of us, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And we will go over chapter 8 and chapter 9 between this morning and next week. And again, for most of us, this should be review. How many were here for last year's missions conference preparation teaching? How many were here? Raise your hand. Amen. Okay. So most of us. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And we know that we need to have a missions program because the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And we can't teach all nations if we don't go to the nations. Amen. So we know we need a missions program. We know that we have to finance a missions program because he said ye should be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we know it takes finances to go there. Amen. How many of y'all can afford to go to Belgium right now? Amen. Normally we cannot. So we know it takes finances to get from this place and to these places. So we know we need a missions program. We know we've got to finance a missions program. Chapter 8 and 9 is the principle that we use to finance a missions program. And how is that done? By a principle called grace giving or giving by grace. And so that's what's covered in chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to restart reading down in verse number 1, and I'm going to ask you to pick up with me in verse number 7. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desire Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Pick up with me together from 7 down to verse 9. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And notice what he says as a result of what he has just said. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it. But as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. He said, hey, look, let's go ahead and let's get this thing started. Let's do it. And I want you to give out of what you have. And that's the principle that we're going to be discussing here is grace giving. That is the principle that we utilize in giving to our missionaries and supporting their need and their call. There is a method to get from point A to point B and the rest of these points here. Each flag that you see here, we have sent a missionary from this place to these places. Each one takes finances, and each one can be assisted by prayer and by our finances that we give. And I'm going to give you a little testimony here in just a minute about how I got saved. And guess how I got saved? A missionary was involved. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together this morning. We'll discuss it this morning. We'll discuss it tonight. We'll discuss it next week. And Lord, if you should tarry your coming, then we'll look to see what we're going to do for missions worldwide here at the Shining Light Baptist Church. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for the missionary that was sent out to help the church there in Belgium. I pray, Lord, that as each one of us listens intently and listens with our heart, and listens with our mind, Lord, you would instruct us what we can do and what we should do for the glory of God and for the cause of souls around the world, for the glory of God. Thank you for loving me and saving me and making me the pastor of the Shining Light Baptist Church. I'm blessed in the next moments that we have together. Possibly there may be someone here without Jesus Christ today. And I do pray for that one, Lord, the mission field is their heart right now if they're not saved. And they need to be born again. The Bible says, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so for that man, that woman, boy, or girl, under the sound of my voice right now, they're not saved, save them. And Lord, for those that are saved, help us to get into the mode and the mindset of being used to get the gospel around the world through missions. And it's going to be through grace giving. It's going to be through our missions program here. Use the time that we have, Lord. Instruct us once again on what we can do for missions. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. And Mrs. Dawson has our special.
Today a man is somewhere proclaiming God's good news, winning families to Jesus all around his neighborhood. He tells them that God is able to make their house a home. He wants to win his world for Christ, but he can't do it alone. But each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead one to our Savior. Then together we can tell our world that Jesus is the way. If we each one reach one, the message is unchanging. Go ye into all the world and share the love of Jesus. Far away or door to door, you see, just like somebody told you that Jesus loves you so. We must tell someone who will tell someone until the whole world knows. Each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead one to our Savior. Then together we can tell our world that Jesus is the way. If we each one reach one. So will we go out and labor? Will we hold high the torch? One by one and two by two, we can win our world to Jesus Christ. Each one can reach one as we follow after Christ. We all can lead one. We can all lead somebody to our Savior. Then together we can tell our world that Jesus is the way. If we each one reach.
Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Dawson. Each one can
reach one. By the way, somebody reached you. Amen. They came knocking at your door, or they met you at the job, or they saw you in the street, or they saw you somewhere. Amen. And they gave you the gospel. Amen. Unless you like the halls, they drove by the church and said, we're going next week. Amen. And they came and met up with Jesus Christ and got saved. Amen. Each one of us has a story. And each one of these flags represented here, the missionary that is represented in that country has a story as well. And with the story behind each one of the missionaries in these countries, by, for instance, the Huckabees, amen, each one has a story where somebody reached them. And they, in turn, now are going right back there to reach someone else. And I tell you what, in each one of these countries, there are people just like you and me. And guess what kind of people they are? They are ordinary people that are laden with sin that need an extraordinary God to come in their lives and save them by the gospel message. Amen. And that's why you and I have missionary support that we give to get them to these countries. Now, let me tell you about a soul winner. I don't know the name of this soul winner, but I'm indebted to this soul winner. You say, preacher, why are you indebted to this soul winner? Because this soul winner is the one that gave T.J. Tilley the gospel. And T.J. Tilley is the one that got saved and as a missionary planted the church in Belgium where I got saved. And so I don't know that soul winner that gave him the gospel. It might have been a Sunday school teacher. Might have been a children's church worker. Might have been a grandma, grandpa. Might have been an aunt, uncle. And maybe somebody just left a track. Maybe he picked it up and read it. But a soul winner gave T.J. Tilley the gospel. And then he got into a church in North Carolina, King, North Carolina, Calvary Baptist Church. And over the course of his life, I don't know exactly when, he felt the call of God to plant a church. And he couldn't go to Belgium by himself, and so he needed somebody to send him. And the church there in King, North Carolina, Calvary Baptist Church, banded together, and each one began to give a little bit of money. Maybe some gave a dollar, maybe some gave five, maybe some gave 10, maybe some gave 20. And they put that money together, and they called it a missions fund. And T.J. Tilley said, I believe God's called me to the military over in Belgium. There's a base there called NATO, and a lot of American troops are there, navies there, air forces there, armies there, marines there. They're all there, and there's not one gospel-preaching church there. There's no one to reach our soldiers, our men and women who are giving their lives for their country, serving. There's nobody there. I believe God's called me to go reach some people there. That church in North Carolina got together and put the money together and sent Brother Tilley over to Belgium, which is this country right here. So from that soul winner in America, Brother Tilley got saved in King, North Carolina in America. And they sent Brother T.J. Tilley all the way over here to Belgium to plant a little church called Calvary Baptist Church in Hershey's, Belgium. Through the course of time, he knocked on the door by the name of Craig Bennett. Pastor Bennett had already been saved, but he had some doctrinal issues, and Brother Tilley got him into church and got him right with God. Before too long, God had called Pastor Bennett to pastor that church in Belgium as an American military still stationed in Belgium. As this church was going along, there was another guy that was reached through that church named Rod Branch. He happened to work at the optometry clinic where my wife worked at. He began talking to my wife about the things of God, and this man out of this church in Belgium began talking to her about spiritual things, and she began talking to me about spiritual things, and I was already searching for the true God. See, I was involved in a bunch of foolishness and a bunch of things that didn't matter. Jehovah's Witnesses were a part of that. The Mormons were a part of that. Christian Science was a part of that. And all sorts of other things were a part of that. Easy Believism was a part of that. And so I believed the Bible. But I said, God, if you want me to be saved, it shouldn't be so hard. It shouldn't be so difficult. It shouldn't be so much confusion if there's only one God. And the things he began telling her made sense to me. And I said, I want to talk to this young man. They invited us over for some pizza. They're watching Sanford and Son, of all things. The fun that they were having made no sense to me. It was clean fun. It was no cursing. It was no drinking. I couldn't wait to get out of there because I felt so uncomfortable. I felt like a fish out of water. And all these Christian people, they're talking about Christian stuff and nobody's cursing and nobody's drinking and nobody's doing drugs and nobody's talking filthy at all. And I felt so dirty there because they were all clean, it seemed, and I was filthy. I said, I can't wait to get out of here. But something drew me back. Something about him that he had that I wanted. And I didn't know what it was, but I said, it's something that he has. Simultaneously, I was working with another guy by the name of Tony Wells. An unusual guy by way of Mississippi with an accent. And he was in the same church, and he worked with me. I didn't even know these two guys knew each other. But they went to the same church, and they had the same Christ, and they served the same God. And Tony Wells would walk into my office every day with his accent. Morning, Greg. How you doing, Greg? He had that Mississippi accent. Nothing ever bothered Tony. I don't care how bad it got, he worked in supply. I don't care how bad it got. Tony would come in smiling. I said, boy, how can you smile? Don't you know how bad it is here? Don't you know the weather's bad here? The people are bad here? It stinks here? Don't you know how bad it is? Yeah, I know, Greg. God's still good. And he would never get down. I said, Lord, he has it too. He has what I want. I've got to go to alcohol. I've got to go to drugs. I've got to go to all this to get happy. And he's happy for no reason at all, it seemed to me. He said, I got God. I said, I got God too. I keep the Ten Commandments. I go to church. I read my Bible. I didn't have Jesus. And so from T.J. Tilly coming to Belgium and getting Pastor Bennett and Pastor Bennett getting Rod Branch and getting Tony Wells, and then Rod Branch working with my wife and me working with Tony Wells, I said, man, there's something going on here. And I began asking these questions. And he kept saying, you just need to come to my church. And I kept saying, I don't need your church. I've been to too many churches as it is. And it wasn't church that I needed at all. It was Jesus Christ. It was a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what I needed. He was what I needed instead of the substitutes that I had in drugs and alcohol and riotous living. And so from that church in Calvary Baptist Church came T.J. Tilly. But behind T.J. Tilly was a soul winner that nobody knows. T.J. Tilly knows. I don't. Each missionary that we support in these countries was reached by a soul winner. Every country represented here, somebody reached them. The Johnsons, somebody reached them. You say, who? I don't know. A soul winner. And as a result, they got in the church and they're over there serving God now. Each one. As a result of this church in Belgium, I got saved. My wife got saved the same day. God sent us all the way back to America. So from Belgium now, I come back to America. And God puts me in a church just like he put T.J. Tilly in the church in North Carolina. He put me in one here in Tucson, Arizona. And just like T.J. Tilly raised his hand and saying, I believe God's called me to go to Belgium. I said, I believe God's called me to start a church. And the people in that church gave just the same way they gave in North Carolina. And they gave to missions and they gave to missions. And there was a man who was ready to go. And they sent me to plant this church. And as a result of my wife and I coming here to plant this church, guess what? Souls got saved. Hey, if there was no Shining Light Baptist Church, there might not be a Steve Barlow. There might not be a Susie Orr. There might not be a Jerry Duffy saved here today. Hey, there may not be a Brother and Sister Hall here today. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ did in a soul winner's life to get them burdened. What am I saying? Missions is all about soul winners. It's about you and I reaching someone, getting them in the church, and getting them taught the Word of God, and getting them baptized, and teaching them to observe all things, and then being concerned with Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts, and giving to help that movement. And it's about you and I praying that God would send more laborers in the harvest. He said the harvest is truly plenteous. It's just that the laborers are few. There are fewer givers. There are fewer goers. There are fewer prayers. Hey, folks, if we're going to see these areas and beyond continue to be reached, then soul winners got to come from this country where we're at. And soul winners have to go and see people get saved. Soul winners have to be conscious that there's a need around the world. Soul winners have to be conscious that there is a mandate, there is a command to go ye therefore. It's not an option. He said, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. It's not an option. It's a command. We must reach someone else. And so an unknown soul winner gets saved there somewhere in North Carolina. I don't know if he got saved in North Carolina, but Brother T.J. Tilley surrendered the same way I surrendered, the same way all the missionaries that we support surrendered. And now they're out there. But they can't do it alone. They need our prayers. They need our financial support and commitments. They can't do it alone. My wife sang the song. A man is somewhere out there. He can't do it alone. Each one's got to reach one. You and I have got to do our part. And so these two flags mean a lot to me. Although I'm not a Belgian citizen, I was born again there. And this place means a lot to me. There's a little old church over there that's still going on. Got a handful of people. Its membership goes up and down, up and down. Why? Military come, military go. Military come, military go. Small church. But this church is still supporting missionaries. Say, who's the preacher? Alton Nichols. How did Alton Nichols get saved? The same way T.J. Tilley did, same way I did. Some soul winner reached him. And led him to Christ. He surrendered, got burdened. And now he's in Belgium pastoring the same church that Pastor Bennett surrendered to. Same church I got saved in. Same church that T.J. Tilley planted back in 1984, a long time ago. What am I saying? Folks, we have got to get involved in missions, and I know all of us already are. But I want us to think about each testimony behind each missionary that is here. Because each one was impacted by a missionary. The next person that you reach could be the next missionary. Roderick Branch had no clue that when he started working with my wife that I was going to be in the picture and that I was going to come and get saved. Tony Wells, when he laid his eyes on me, he had no clue that I was going to get saved. I was going to come to his church. Let alone that I was going to get called to preach. Let alone that I was going to become a pastor. And let alone that I'm going to be sending missionaries out as well. They didn't know that. They were just concerned about one person. Each one can reach one. And as a result, the rest is history. Pastor White, Mrs. White saved over in Tarajón, Spain. Gary Kraft knocked on their door. And Pastor White's responsible for leading multitudes to the Lord. Mrs. White's responsible for leading many people to the Lord, instructing many lives. They were our first children's church teachers after my wife got done. Can you imagine Pastor White teaching children's church? He did. Why? Here am I. Use me. Doesn't matter. Whatever. Whatever needs to happen, let's do it. Well, let's go down and look at some things here, folks. So I just want you to understand that in each country that we support a missionary, there's a life, there's a story, and there's a testimony behind each one. And somebody somewhere reached them. And they don't all have sparkling good testimonies. They weren't all raised in Christian homes. They weren't all raised in Christian schools. They weren't always the what you see them as now. Oh, many are. And many have been raised that way. Would to God I was raised like my children, where they are protected and shielded from a lot of sinful stuff that they don't need to see, and they don't need to be a part of, and they don't need to have in their memory. They can grow up with a pure life and a purity about themselves, and I know they're going to get tainted by sin here or there and everywhere, but they don't have to get it in my house. Amen. My parents did the best job they could in shielding me from sin. I seem to still find it. So many of these missionaries have checkered backgrounds and checkered passes. Some of them were molested. Some of them were abused. Some of them were drug addicts. Some of them were alcoholics, and others were into other things that aren't beautiful and aren't pretty. Some were gangbangers, and some were raised in orphanages and shelters and on the streets and things like that. But God saved them. Hallelujah. And he made their lives count for Jesus Christ. Why? That's what he does. That's what he's good at. I look at my life. My life was in shambles. If you looked at my life from the outside, you say, he got it going on. But inside, I was empty. I was desolate. I was yearning. I was searching. And I was longing. And Jesus Christ came and filled that void. Set my feet on a solid rock. Established my goings, as David would say. Got me out of the miry clay. Got me out of the pit. Made me a better husband. Made me a better father. Made me what I need to be as a man of God. He cleaned me up. What am I saying? Jesus Christ does that, and everybody in these countries needs to hear about him. And how's that going to happen? Missions. Missions. Chapter 8, 9 here, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And he's not describing missions giving at all. He's describing giving by grace. There was a famine in Jerusalem, and the saints in Jerusalem needed some help. And so Paul is writing to this church at Corinth because Corinth had said, hey, we'll do that. We'll get involved. We'll send some money. But they hadn't sent the money yet. All the other churches did, but they didn't. Paul writes back and says, hey, wait a minute. Didn't you say you were going to give to help the saints? Amen. And so they're giving by grace. And so we call this area grace giving. And that's how you and I fuel our missions program here, based on grace giving. And so Paul is writing to help them to get financially on top of things. Amen. And instructing them what they needed to do to help out the saints in Judea. Corinth had agreed to help out about a year ago or so, and he's reminding them of their promise in chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians. And so as you and I approach the faith promise collection cards, it's going to be something similar to the tab that you see on here, and it's going to ask you how much you want to give to Faith Promise Missions. And we're going to put that amount down there, and we're going to trust you to give that throughout the year, amen, each week. And we're not going to come asking you for it either. We're going to trust that you mean business with God and that you're going to give it of your own accord. Pastor White said it beautifully, willingly. Nobody's going to twist. By the way, nobody twists your arm to get saved. And so nobody's going to twist your arm about giving. Amen. And so this area is called grace giving. Every saved person here should be involved in worldwide evangelism by our feet and by our finances. Amen. To do that is only going to be by God's grace. And hence, this is grace giving. Amen. I'm going to talk about three quick points this morning. Grace giving defined, grace giving defined, grace giving done and delivered, and then by God's grace giving defended. Those three points here. And most of this is review for most of us, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this area. But the main point and the emphasis I want to get to you and to get across to you this week and next week is that we should be involved. Now, to what level you're involved, that's going to be between you and God, but we should be involved. Each one of us can do something. Each one of us can do something. You say, preacher, I can't do much. God's not asking you to do much. He's just asking you to do what he's asking you to do. And by the way, the definition of grace, one of the definitions is God's ability to do God's will. That's a good definition. Of course, we know other definitions are undeserved favor, loving kindness, goodwill, amen, getting what we don't deserve. But basically, in the area of missions, it's God's ability to do God's will. That's what grace is, and we're going to see that here in just a minute. So let's notice this for just a few minutes here. Grace defined, amen. Grace giving defined. Grace is used in several places here. Notice in verse number 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. What is that? Undeserved favor bestowed on them. Loving kindness bestowed on them. God's ability to do his will bestowed on them. Getting what they don't deserve bestowed on them. Notice verse number 6. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also, this ability to do God's will. Notice down there in verse number 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in diligence and your love to us, it ye abound in this grace also. What grace is that? The grace of giving. Amen. And notice down there in verse number 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus Christ had grace? Yes. He had God's ability to do God's will. Guess what? It took grace to go to the cross. You had to have God's ability to go to the cross. You're not going to the cross on your own accord. That requires the grace of God, the favor of God, God's ability to do God's will, because you're not just going to go to the cross on your own. It takes grace. And it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he what? He became poor that what? Ye through his poverty might be rich. We're talking about grace. Down in verse number 19, not that only, but who also was chosen of the churches to travel with us with this, what's the word? Grace. So grace giving defined, it simply means undeserved favor, loving kindness, goodwill. Goodwill or getting what we don't deserve or God's ability to do God's will. And it was demonstrated through the saints here in Macedonia. Notice down there in verse number 1 through 5 here, and very quickly, grace can be shown in poverty. The churches he's referring to here in verse number 1, where he said the churches of Macedonia were Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. Those three we know. There could have been more, but these three for sure we know. Grace gave them strength or ability to do God's will. And what was God's will? To give to the saints in Judea. Notice grace can be shown in poverty, verse number 2. How that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. God came and demonstrated his grace in allowing them to give even though they were in poverty. By the way, the most poverty-stricken person in America still is richer than the poorest in other nations. Amen. You go to some of these nations and you think you have poverty? You haven't seen poverty until you go to some of these countries. By the fact, just go right over across Mexico. Why do you think so many people are trying to get out of Mexico to get over here? Because it's bad there. Their economy is bad there. Their culture is bad there. The system is bad there. It's corrupt in politics there. You say, well, it's corrupt here. It's worse there. People trying to get out of there to come here. Grace can be shown that beyond our power. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they're willing of themselves. You can do what you can do, but then God can do more through you beyond what you think you can do oftentimes. Amen. And that's what he's talking about there. God's grace came because they did all they could in their power and trusted God for everything beyond their power. Amen. And they prayed saying, look, help us get involved. We want to get involved in verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty. They were begging. You ever had somebody that really doesn't have a whole lot to give, but they want to give you something? Then they make you feel bad, sort of break your heart. You're thinking, no, I can't take that from you. I was in one of the countries in St. Vincent, the Grenadines, and I got invited to eat at one of the houses there. And you could tell they were poor. And they put all this food out there. And I'm thinking, this is enough food to last y'all probably about a week. And I didn't want to eat. They say, eat. I'm thinking, I don't really want to eat this. But if I didn't eat, they would feel bad if I didn't eat. And they were in poverty, and they were saying, impoverished, take this, and trying to give me stuff. I'm thinking, man, you got to. That's how it was here for these churches. They were in poverty, and they prayed, Paul, help, let us get involved. We want to help. Praying us, verse 4, with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They said, take this money. We want to get involved. We want to help. But notice also grace can be shown not just in poverty and beyond our power, but if we present ourselves. Verse number 5, and this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They said, we can do this because we gave ourselves to God, and God is helping us give ourselves to you, and we want you to take this. Hey, folks, if you're going to do anything for God, you better give yourself to God. I like what Brother Hall said, trying to challenge the children. Did you do it because of love? Did you do it because of love? Because that's what matters. That's what matters, love. Do you do this because you love, or are you doing it out of law? I have to do it. Mrs. Dawson, how would you like it if I said, well, I'm going to take care of you because it's the law? Joshua and G2, how would you like myself? I got to take care of y'all. It's the law. Here, take your food. It's the law. I got to feed you. Here, take something to drink. It's the law. I got to give you something to drink. Here's some clothes. I got to put them on your back. No, you're not getting that. Here, take that. How would you feel if I did that out of law? Don't you like it when I do stuff because I love you and willingly? Somebody gave me cherry sours, and I said, here's some cherry sours. Put some on the table. I said, here's some Ferrero chocolate. Put them on the table. Now, I could have said, here. You happy I shared? Kids always want my cherry sour. Here's some Ferrero candy. You happy now? I can see them now. Don't taste so good now. Tastes like cherry bitters. Ferrero chocolate. Don't taste so good now. It all goes with the spirit. You can willingly give something, or you can grudgingly give something. Hey, freely ye have received, freely give. I didn't pay for anything in the bag. I shouldn't have had no problem giving it up. Everything except the coffee filters. Brother Kelly knows what I'm talking about now. I freely received it all, so I should freely give. And I did. And they were excited. I was excited. Miss Duffy made me a little cake in a cup. And man, everybody got a spoonful. It was only a cupful. But everybody, your turn. Open up. It was a bun cake. Everybody's like, everybody's smiling, all happy. Daddy, what else you got in that bag? They were happy. Why? I gave myself to the Lord so I can freely give myself to my family. And they enjoyed everything in the bag. What am I saying? Grace can be shown if we present ourselves. They said, please take this. You surprise yourself as to what you can give when you give yourself first to God. Be surprised what you can give and how God can give through you. He says, as a result of what you've done and the grace demonstrated through the saints, he says, you have done something else as well. You've excelled, verse 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything, he said, you're excelling in these things, faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and your love to us. He said, you're excelling in all these things. Your love is excelling, your diligence, your knowledge, your utterance, your faith. It's all excelling. He said, now see that ye abound in this grace also. What grace is that? The same giving that the Macedonian churches were involved in that he's talking about in verse number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. He said, church at Corinth, you got it going on, but don't stop there. Do what these churches are doing. Give, because that's what you said you'd do anyway. Nobody tried to twist your arm. Nobody pulled your arm. You volunteered. And because you volunteered, the other churches volunteered. And now you're not even doing what you said you'd do. And so Paul used this positive encouragement to let them know, hey, get involved. Get involved. I like what he says in verse 8. He said, it's voluntary, it's not by commandment, but it does prove us and show the sincerity of your love. He said, I speak not by commandment. He said, I'm not forcing you to do this, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others. By the way, the soul winner that reached Brother Tilly and got Brother Tilly saved, I don't think anybody forced him to do that. And when Brother Tilly surrendered to preach to go over to Belgium, I don't think anybody forced him to do that. When Brother Rod Branch talked to my wife, I don't think anybody forced him to do that. When it came down to me getting saved, no one forced me to do that. When I came back to America and surrendered to preach, amen, no one forced me to do that. And when I went out to plant this church, no one forced me to do that. What happened? I did it of my own free will. Why? That's what God called me to do. He said, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. He said, others have gotten involved because of what you said. And to prove the sincerity of your love, he says, I want you to prove how much you love God by what you said you're going to do. Beauty of faith promise or grace giving is that you don't have to give it. However, you do show how much you love God and love souls by how you give it. Amen. He said, I'm not speaking by commandment. He said, you don't have to do this. Amen. He said, but this is going to show something. Notice verse 24. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your what? Love. And of our boasting on your behalf. He said, we told everybody else that you was going to give, and now you're not even giving. What does the Bible say? For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son. Giving is not a requirement of law, but it is a requirement of love. You cannot say that you love someone and not give to them. Somebody say amen. Giving is not a requirement of law, but it is of love. See, the law takes from you all the time, and many of you don't like the law. Uncle Sam will take from you in a heartbeat. I don't see y'all falling in love with Uncle Sam. I just love the IRS. I love them. The Internal Revenue. I love them. Yes. Here's my money. Take it. Yeah, take it all. I'll even give more than I owe the government. Take it. And no. Give me back some more, as a matter of fact. Requirement. Giving is not a requirement of law, but it is a requirement of love. If you love, you will give. For God so loved the world that he gave. God's grace demonstrated through the saints in verses 1 through 8, but then God's grace demonstrated through our Savior, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He said, you already know this. You know the grace that was bestowed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you know this already, amen. And Paul bringing the relationship of our giving in line with Jesus and his giving, Jesus gave it all. By the way, if there's anyone that was poor, physically speaking, when it comes to this world's goods, Jesus was poor. He was born in a stable with animals. Who was born in a stable with animals? None of us. I think we're probably well-to-do then. Y'all were born in a house, or you were born in a hospital, or some of you were born on the way to the hospital in the car. Some of y'all was born maybe camping, water broke out there. Yeah, hey, we got to give birth. But you had a house to go home to. Jesus was born in a stable. Last time I checked, he borrowed a last lunch to feed a multitude. Twice. Once 5,000, next time 4,000. He borrowed a fish to pay taxes. Peter said, don't we pay taxes? He said, do the children of the king need to pay taxes? He said, but so that we don't offend, Peter, go down there and catch that fish and reach in his mouth and pull out some money. He borrowed some money from a fish. Now, I caught the turtle. He didn't have nothing in his mouth but my hook. We caught the little fish. He ain't had nothing in his mouth but a hook. Jesus said, look in his mouth and pull that thing out. Joshua, did you see anything in the turtle's mouth besides the hook? A tongue. Amen. That's about it. So about it, he had to borrow money from a fish to pay taxes. He had to borrow a boat from Peter to preach to the multitudes, amen. He had to borrow an upper room to have the Last Supper, amen. He had to borrow a donkey to ride into town. He had to borrow a tomb to get buried in. He borrowed everything. Why? He didn't have much, but he had everything. but he had everything. This world's goods don't matter. What matters is what we have in heaven. And he knew what he had in heaven. So he didn't have to have anything here. He was prosperous. The Bible says, though he was rich in verse number 9, he became poor for your sake. So his prosperity, he was rich. He became poor for our sakes as a man. He took on our poverty. He said, ye through his poverty might be what? Might be rich. He purchased our pardon. So he has it all. Amen. So grace giving defined. It is God's ability to do God's will. Then quickly, grace giving done and delivered. Notice verse number 10. Here and I give my advice, for this is expedient for you. Amen. And there was a time when you could give children advice and they'd take it. Nowadays, they leave it. There was a time when parents gave you advice, you thought, mom and dad have been around a while. I think they know what they're talking about. Now kids are like, you don't know what you're talking about. Let me Google that first. Back in the days, you had to look it up in the dictionary to make sure it was all right. Took some time, so you just take mama's word for it. Mama said, go look it up. I got to go and get a dictionary and look it up just to find out she was right. Now kids say, well, you said what? Let me Google that and see what that says here. Right here it says 25 degrees, not 30. Okay, it's a figure of speech. Here it says figure of speech shouldn't be used for children. Hey, they Google everything. Now, Paul says, I'm giving you my advice here. This is expedient for you. You have begun before not to only do, but also to be for forward a year ago. In other words, he's saying, go back and make up the difference. Amen. You said you're going to give last year, so make up the difference. It's expedient to give by grace, amen. Paul, again, does not command, but he gives his advice. He said, I can't command you, but I can give you some advice. This is expedient or to your advantage to finish this grace giving that you begun. You started a year ago, and you need to finish it. And not only does he say it's expedient, but it's expected. Notice verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it. He said, I expect it. That if there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. He said, I expect it, and it's expedient. He said, perform it and provide it. But notice how I'm providing it. Now, therefore, verse 11, perform the doing of it, that if there was a readiness of will, you wanted to do it already, so there may be a performance out of what? Also out of that which ye have. He says, I'm not going to be like the illusionist yesterday and make up stuff. Pow! Hey, look at that. Give out of that money right there. Yeah, there you go. Watch this. Whop! There's $1 million. Yeah, give out of that. Yeah. He said, no. He said, reach in your back pocket. He said, and what you find, pull it out. He said, and perform out of that which you have. Don't try to say, make up some money. Come on. And for y'all back in the days of Tabitha, dingy, 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 dingy. Don't work that way. Don't work that way. No I Dream a Genie here. Boing. None of that. None of that. It's just look at what you have. And I'm sure you can find something out of what you have. We want to say, well, if I had some money, I'd give something. You already have something. Amen. He said, give out of what you have. Is that what he says? Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that if there was a readiness to will, he says, you wanted to do it. He said, now do it. But he says, there may be a performance also out of that which you have. He said, don't go looking for something else that you don't have. Give out of that which you do have. By the way, you can't give what you don't have if you're not willing to give out of what you do have. Amen. Amen. We said this before, and I'll give this to you again. Most of us are going to give out of 1 to 3 ways. Number one, we're going to give out of our abundance. That's what we can, quote unquote, afford to give. Then number two, we'll give out of sacrifice. I can't afford it, but I'll reshuffle some things and I'll sacrifice. And the third way is exceptional faith. That's saying I don't even have the ability to give. I don't know how I'm going to give, but I'm going to give. And that's how most of us are going to give. Most of us are not going to give that last way. We're going to give by what we can afford out of our abundance, or we're going to either sacrifice because that's how poor we are. Amen. Verse 12, if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to the hath not. He said, not what you don't have, but what you have. And so Paul begins to expand now on how to give by grace. He says, there's got to be a willing mind there in verse number 12. You got to be willing to give out of that which you have. And then verses 13 and 14, he says, well, let me expand on the moment. You may have them bail you out one day. Notice what he says there. For I mean not that other men be easy and ye be burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, when that there may be equality. He said, you may need their help one day. And so now that you have this money to give, you need to give it, because one day they may have to give to you. You know, one of the most uncomfortable positions to be in is that somebody asks you for money and you won't give it, and then you need money and they have to give you some. Isn't that uncomfortable? Y'all say, well, I don't know. I've never been in that position before. Praise God you haven't. But if you're stingy and somebody say, can I have some money? No, I ain't giving you nothing. And then you need some money. What you need? Okay. Nice weather, isn't it? Are you gonna use all that money right there? Why? Strange thing. Remember that time when you came to me and asked for some help? Remember that? And I was sort of not. I was financially strapped at the time. No, I remember that. You wasn't financially strapped. You had extra money. Hey, oh, yeah. But now I need some money. You need what? I need some money. You need what? I need some money. Oh, you do, huh? Remember that day when I asked you for some money? What'd you say? Why, you don't have any money? Are you wasteful? And I wasn't wasteful. A tragedy happened. And now, you asking me for some money? Make you feel bad, doesn't it? He says, you may have to ask them for something one day. Hey. He says, a wanting moment, share and share alike. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. We need you now. You may need us later. I'm just saying. Then they go and take you back to Exodus. Pastor White was there today. Exodus 25. They take you back to Exodus 16 and verse 15. He says down there, verse 15, as it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over. He that had gathered little had no lack. And that's talking about the manna that was there. Everybody had enough manna that was there. So Paul takes them all the way back to an Old Testament account and lets them know, hey, it's good to give. And Moses told them to go out and give up and gather up all the manna. The manna freely fell. Everybody had it to the use. He says, if you give, Corinth, and if Berea gives, and if Philippi gives, and these other churches give, guess what? We can pull all that money together. We can get it down to Judea, and those saints will be taken care of. By the way, many of the saints, or I'm not going to say many, but some of the saints in Jerusalem that were poor because Paul had their husbands killed when he was persecuting the Jews. Paul was on his rampage down there, and he was taking people to prison. And so many that were not well off were that way because of Paul sowing and reaping. And Paul says, look, we need to go and help them. So we see grace giving done and delivered. He says it's expedient, it's expected. He expanded on how to give. But then grace giving defended, verses 16 through 24. We're not going to go over all those verses. We're just going to give you this. There's a committed courier in verse number 17, which was Titus. Titus was going to be responsible for taking it down there. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Titus was that committed courier that was going to go and take it down there. And then notice there's some considered company. Another brother and was chosen to go with Titus and Paul. Notice verse 17. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And then we have the Christian conduct to be aware of down there in verses 19 and 20 and 21. He says down there, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord in declaration of your ready mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us. Paul said, we just want to have precautions as this money is gathered and given. We're going to send able-bodied brethren with us. Titus is going, I'm going, and we're going to choose some other brothers out that can guard this money. Back in those days, travel was very dangerous, and you could be overtaken by robbers and bandits, and you couldn't just pick up the phone and call 911. You had to wait until somebody came along. Remember the Levite and the priest who went on the other side when the Samaritan was hurt? They couldn't just pick up the phone and call 911. Can you come out and help this poor Samaritan? I'm a Levite. I'm a priest, and I can't help him. I'm sorry. There was no phone, and so they had to travel with some company, much like our presidents travel now with company. Christian conduct, verse 22, he says, and we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved their safety in numbers. They proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. And then the Christian character, verse 23 and 24, where they need to inquire of Titus, he's my partner and fellow helper concerning you. He said, I got his back. I got his testimony. He's a good man. Or our brethren be inquired of. He said, those are good men too. They are the messengers of the churches. He said, we can count on them and the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. He says, when they come, when Titus comes, when these other men come to collect the money to take down to Judea, make sure you understand they are appointed representatives to receive the money and to get it safely down to Judea. There's no hanky-panky with these men. There's nothing awry with these men. These are good men. Chapter 9, then he's going to talk about, okay, let's do it. Okay, let's do it. The men are coming. Let's do it. Chapter 8 is just to remind them that it needs to be done. And this is why it needs to be done. And this is how it can be done. And it's all by grace, and it's through grace, but you don't have to do it. Let you know that you don't have to do it, but you show how much you love people when you don't. By the way, a group of Christians at Keene, North Carolina, helped Brother Tilly get to where he's at. A group of Christians at Bethel Baptist Church helped this church to get where it's at. By the way, we've got Founders Day, March 31st. Dr. Nelson's going to be here. You and I need to show those people some love when they come because they are responsible for this church. They paid the rent the first couple of weeks as we went out. They bought the hymn books for us. You ought to show them some love when they come. You ought to show Dr. Nelson some love and some respect. You say, well, I don't even know him. You don't need to know him. You know me. You know me. And he backed me up. And he put confidence in God's ability to use me. So you don't have to know him. You don't have to know them that gave. You just need to know me. I wouldn't be here if they didn't support me. If you've ever been here, you notice how they get around me and Mrs. Dawson and shower us with love. They remember when we used to be members up there. You see them get around Pastor and Mrs. White and shower them with love. They remember when we were members up there. They remember. They remember giving to missions to support this ministry. And they remember patting me on the back and praying for me and laying hands on me and saying, God bless you. Go on out there and save some souls. Do it for Jesus' sake. We gave. Show them some love when they come. Show Dr. Nelson some love. His wife is already with dementia, and she's probably not going to be here. And we don't know how many years we're going to have with Dr. Nelson. But when he comes, if he's able to come, show them some love. Say, preacher, how can I show them some love? Support them. Be here that Sunday night. Talk to them and ask them, how long have you been there? Ask them, do they remember Brother Dawson when he was up there? They'll tell you some stories about me. I still wasn't refined in culture, Pastor White, when I was up there. I was still a little rough. Amazing what the ministry will do to smooth you out. Amen. What am I saying here? Folks, he's talking about grace giving. Grace giving, chapter number 8. And reminding them, he defined it in verses 1 through 9. He told them it needs to be done and delivered in verses 10 through 15 and 16 through 24. He's defending it, letting them know we're going to take care of the money. Next week, we'll look at chapter 9. So folks, all of these churches here are just a result of the principle that is laid down in the Bible. Somebody gave Brother Tilly the gospel many years ago. And as a result of Brother Tilly getting saved, he went to Belgium, reached some people who ended up reaching me and my wife, who came right back here to plant another church to send out people that were reached just like I was reached, just like my wife was reached, just like Brother Tilly was reached, and it reciprocates. I wonder who's going to get called out of here to be the next missionaries. All these people came out of a church, folks. The Apostle Paul came out of a church, Antioch, him and Barnabas. I wonder who's the next one that we called out of here. Even if we're not called, guess what? We can still give through here. We can still pray through here. Why? This is our local church. And God wants to help you to give by grace. Our goal is $45,000. That's what it's going to take for our program here. We've gotten to the end of March to make that goal. Will we make the goal? I trust we will. And I'm looking out. We're not many. We're not many. But if everybody just does what God lays upon their heart to do, by God's grace, we'll do it. God's ability to do God's will. One thing God wants to do, he wants to save you the day you're not saved. He wants to save you. He wants to do for you what he did for me and my wife and T.J. Tilly. He wants the gospel delivered to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friend, if that's you, receive the gift of God today. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. Father, as we discuss the area of grace giving, what we know for many is not a popular area because we're talking about finances, but Lord, we're talking about souls. We're talking about getting people saved. Lord, on the sound of my voice, there may be somebody that you have placed it upon their heart to check their salvation. If so, Lord, I pray for that man, that woman, that boy or girl, they can get things set up with you. Because this is all about getting the gospel out, getting the good news that Jesus died for sinners. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Well, you said, whosoever should call upon him, Lord, should be saved. And Lord, there's one today without Jesus Christ, save that man, that woman, boy or girl. Perhaps there's one that needs to surrender to start giving to missions, start working on the heart of that man, woman, boy, or girl right now, the amount you'd have them to give by grace. Perhaps there's someone that you're tugging at their heart about being a missionary. Maybe it's a couple. Maybe it's a young person. Maybe it's a single. Lord, speak to that heart of that man, woman, boy, or girl, that family, that young person. Help them to see your call on their life and help them to recognize it and submit to it and surrender to it. Same way you did Brother T.J. Tilly, same way you did me. Save them, call them, show them what you have. Help us to give as unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. How many would say, preacher, would you pray for me that I can be sure I am saved? I think I'm a Christian, but I'm not absolutely positive. Remember me in your closing prayer, right? Well, yeah, just raise your hand up and you can put it right back down. I want to remember you in prayer. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm concerned about it. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all, man, woman, boy, or girl? Next, I mean, we'll say, preacher, you know, I've been giving to missions and I want to pray that God will give me the correct amount to give in this upcoming year. It may be more than I used to give. It may be less than I used to give, but pray that I can get the right amount. You raise your hand. Pray for me. Pray for me. Hands should be going up all over. I know my hand's going up. As your salary decreases or increases, God may vary the amount that you give. Amen. You may put them down. And lastly, I'm going to say, preacher, I've never done this before, never given to missions. This is foreign to me. This is brand new. Don't quite understand it, but I know I want to be involved in the plan of God. And pray for me that I can be involved in the plan of God some way, shape, fashion, form. Never done this before. But I want to be involved in some way to help get people saved. Pray for me. Amen. I see that hand. You may put it down. Someone else. I've never been involved in this. Pray for me. Amen. Father, thank you for the honesty of those, Lord. Some of us may have to decrease our giving. Some may have to increase. Some may want to increase. And Lord, others have never done it before, would like to do it. Lord, I pray that you speak to their hearts. Help us collectively as a church body to reach souls for the glory of God. We already have representatives around the country, around the world. Help us do our part. Each one can reach one through our prayers, through our finances, and through our feet. And so, Lord, help us do our part in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed as Gregory plays the invitation. Maybe God spoke in your heart this morning. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and just pray and say, Lord, how much do you want me to give this year? Lord, you know my finances have increased. I want to give more. I want to do more. Lord, you know my finances have decreased. Lord, what can I do? How can I give? How can I be a part? Maybe you might say, I've never done it before. Lord, what can I do? How can I be involved? God spoke in your heart, you move. I don't know what God wants me to do for missions, but I'm concerned about souls. Someone reach me. I want to do more, but I seem to have less. I have more, and I don't want to do less. I want to do more. Never done this before. God help me. I see how a pastor was reached by a soul winner. Pastor's wife was reached by a soul winner. Brother Tilly was reached by a soul winner. Help me, Lord, to be a soul winner. Help me to reach souls for Jesus Christ. Help me to see people saved. And help me do my part to get them into church, get them baptized. That God, you may call them to the ministry that you have prepared for them. I don't know about you, but I know God is wanting to use us in a greater way this year. Finances may be less, so you may have to get creative. You may have to do other things than what you are normally accustomed to doing. But I do know this. To give the gospel around the world, it takes grace giving. It takes finances, the same way finances were needed by the churches and the Christians in Judea. Berea got involved. Philippi got involved. Corinth is being encouraged to get involved, help the saints. Grace, grace greater than our sin. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace that you bestowed upon us. Thank you, Lord, for being a God that loves us. And God, there may be those here that have never participated in grace giving. We'll help them to understand this is not a difficult process, but it is something that we commit to for an entire 52 weeks of the year. And it's something that you have not commanded us to do. It's optional. We don't have to, but if we do, Lord, it's going to be by your grace and through your grace. Lord, many under sound of my voice maybe have had a decrease in pay and will have to adjust. And some have had an increase in pay and are really desirous to increase. Lord, some will have to get strategic. Some may have to sacrifice more than others. Some can get out of their abundance. Lord, however you would have us to give, instruct us through your grace that we may be recipients and vessels. You might make us a blessing as the song that we're singing to someone today, in some country today. We may pray more. We may seek more. We may sow win more. Or we may encourage more. Well, whatever it is you'd have us do, make us a blessing. Well, we've already received a blessing from you. So help us now to be a blessing to someone today. And what we think, what we say, what we do. Lord, may we see more souls reach for the glory of God, more monies given, and more creative ways to get the gospel out. Thank you for the precious hands that were raised. Help us to be in prayer over these next couple weeks, Lord, to know what you want to do with us and through us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You want to come back tonight? We're going to be talking about giving through the testaments. Giving through the testaments, understanding Old and New Testaments, reconciling those two, and then I'll be giving out some things tonight, too, for those that were involved a couple weeks ago as we did the Should I Tithe? Amen. So come tonight, and we'll be giving out some of those things tonight. I think it'll be a blessing for you and encouragement to your heart to get something tonight from your efforts. Pastor White.